And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9, where apparently it's Blue Shirt Day.
This is so awkward.
It is embarrassing. Obviously, my wife and your mom forgot to coordinate our outfits this morning. But I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And let's get right into it with our top story, which is a new version of the .NET Framework.
.NET Framework 4.5.2, for those of you who love the double dot.
Yes, I do love the double dot, Stan. And so there's not a lot new specifically for developers in this release, but there are a lot of behind the scenes, what I would call fit and finish improvements. So there's some things that are really nice when it comes to creating applications which have high DPI settings. And so there's some screenshots on the .NET Framework blog that you can go read about. There's a bunch of stuff behind the scenes with respect to how worker threads operate and some performance improvements when it comes time to work with Microsoft Distributed Transaction Coordinator. So I suspect
MSDTC, yeah, you know me.
I'm down with it. So I suspect for a lot of people, this will just be a no-brainer upgrade. You can go ahead and deploy it and just immediately take advantage of some perf and scalability and reliability improvements.
Very cool stuff, and definitely check out the blog for full details.
That's right. And the next story here actually is just a rundown of the downloads.
Yeah, because it's important, right? Because there is the runtime, the full framework, and then all the different things specific for that version of a .NET framework.
Right, and it's not, I believe last time I checked, this is not yet on Windows Update, but it will be coming to Windows Update.
Excellent. So, Bob Tabor.
Friend of the show.
And obviously working with another friend of the show, Larry Lieberman, and a number of other folks working on the Windows Phone 8.1 development for absolute beginners.
Right, so we've talked about these beginner series a lot. They're super popular, really good way to kind of dive in. If you've never done Windows Phone development, that's okay.
Yeah, so Bob walks through, and the nice thing is, for folks looking specifically for a Windows 8.1, because he has done Windows Phone 7, mm-hmm. Windows Phone 8, and now Windows Phone 8.1, kind of lighting up the experience for 8.1 developers. It's over 9 hours of content. So things from UI XAML layout, navigation model, app lifecycle, emulator. There's some cool mapping stuff in here, animations, and so on. So definitely a must see.
Yeah, I'm still on the Windows Mobile 6. Beginner series, but I'm hoping to get to this soon. So.
Oh, yeah, the Pocket PC, Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had one of those. I pulled my back carrying that thing. It was great.
So here's another great video series from our friends over in the Microsoft Virtual Academy. You know, oftentimes we do a lot of demos and examples using kind of, one .NET language, so obviously J#. If you are a Visual Basic developer, sometimes you're kind of left out thinking, hey, where's my content? Obviously Visual Basic is a very important part of the family. So this is a great series that really is targeted specifically at Visual Basic developers who are maybe getting started with Windows Store development and want to see everything in their nude up language of choice.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things is, from a team investment, they're like, hey, we have these languages and we want to bring the same features across both, right? So having language parity as a design goal, right? So if you happen to like VB or C#, you can do either.
Co-evolution. Speaking of VB,
I actually just talked to Alex Turner about this quick VB project. So you can download it now. The source code is actually available on CodePlex. So what it does is basically pops up a window that you have the full an emulation environment for quick VB. So the idea is you can actually write code and then actually run it, and it'll.
Wait, this is in the browser?
No, this is almost like a Windows app that emulates like you were writing console apps.
Okay.
But it's using in the style of Quick VB, and everything is kind of dynamic. So Alex was telling me how you could actually debug the Quick VB app itself. So it was almost like Inception, like you're debugging itself and then running it again, and I was incredibly confused.
Just like Inception. I'm sure this would be a blockbuster movie.
Just like Inception.
Yes.
Exactly right. But this is super cool, and probably one of the coolest parts is it is open source as well. So, and you get things like IntelliSense for .NET types. So as I was playing around with it, I did the classic console.beep, and you're like, hey, what's that noise?
Yep.
And I was like, ha ha, quick baby. So very cool stuff. Love
Blast
the VB
from
stuff.
The past. Great. So this next one is about feature toggles, or some teams refer to. I'm just saying, it says feature toggles on the slide.
It
says feature toggles in the article. It's also called feature flags. I was getting to that. But the idea is that, you know, oftentimes in this software as a service world, we ship a lot of stuff to the cloud. And one of the great things about the cloud is that you can take features that maybe you don't expose to the entire audience, and you can expose them to some of your early beta testers or some insiders, or maybe just a random sampling for doing A/B testing.
Sure.
Well, in order to make that real, you have to have an infrastructure and a process that supports that so that you can actually take pieces of code that are deployed as part of your application and say, let's just turn those on for certain users.
So let's give an example in case people are like, I hear what you're saying, feature flags. So like, what would be a good example of how we're using feature flags?
Well, a good example
or
might
even
be
even just a basic example.
Yeah, so in Visual Studio Online, you know, last year we announced support for Git hosted projects. Well, even before we announced that support, we had our MVP community, which is about, I think there's about 100 people in the ALM community. We gave them access to it so that they could start using it and giving us feedback on the features before they went to the rest of the world. So sometimes it's because you're not ready to disclose something. Sometimes it's because there's reliability concerns and you want to do some beta testing first before you actually expose it to the rest of the world. But feature flags, when orchestrated as part of a DevOps culture, really give you an option to do that.
Yeah, so basically you're turning stuff on and off as you want.
Right, exactly. And, you know, obviously this isn't just a Microsoft thing. Facebook does this. There's a lot of big companies out there that kind of live in the cloud and take advantage of this model a lot.
Cool. Very cool. So for folks who are coding in Cocos 2D today, so Cocos 2D is a 2D library that allows you to build C++ games and have those C++ games work on, say, iOS and Android. The idea here is our OpenDeck team has actually launched a way where you can go through a series of steps on your existing Cocos 2D app, take the classes, do a file new project in, say, Store, add the classes, add a couple things in terms of how you're setting up your project and references, and this works on phone as well, and you can actually F5 your Cocos 2D game in Store or phone.
Great.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
So obviously there are some limitations, like things like fonts not supported or changing sound files for phone, but anybody that's building Cocos 2D apps can now easily target phone or Windows Store.
Outstanding. So what about threat modeling, Dan? What do you have to share with us?
Threat modeling, Keller.
Yes.
Threat modeling. The old STRIDE. Spoofing, tampering, repudiation, information disclosure, denial of service, and elevation of privilege.
Now I see why they call it STRIDE.
Yes, STRIDE. So there's a number of ways that when we're talking about threat modeling, we are looking at how our business process goes, right? So like a bank transaction that needs to hit 3 different systems, what are the connection points for those systems? What are the inputs and outputs? How is the data secured? Is the data like private to everyone, available to everyone? How do we know the backend system isn't being tampered? How do we know the connection between point A and point B doesn't have a man in the middle, and so on? So a number of these different techniques that people need to learn and understand from a security perspective, this threat modeling tool kind of allows you to diagram, as you can see, some of the different processes and understand, hey, there's an HTTP boundary here, and there's another boundary here, and here's kind of how our process for this bank transaction works, and you can then do decisions based on do we have the right security model.
That's great. Cool. So this is a download that takes you through, gives you a set of tools.
Yeah, set of tools. This is actually the GUI tool that they provide, and everything is available for free, which is a great thing.
Great. Sounds good. So this is just a reminder that you know, if you're going to be at TechEd in Houston next week,
we will both be there.
We'd love to see you. And if you're not going to be there, you should join us on Channel 9 because we'll have a lot of sessions streaming live. We'll have, of course, the keynote streaming live with Brad Anderson on Monday morning. And then the rest of the sessions that are not streaming live will, as usual, be available online, usually within 24 to 48 hours after each session. So just a ton of content. Carve off the next few weeks if you want to try to watch everything.
Yeah, this should be really exciting. We got some cool stuff to show.
Definitely. Speaking of cool stuff, this is my pick of the week.
Yes.
Which is the Xbox team. They recently represented at a conference, a LEGO Mindstorms conference called Build for Good. And you may notice the awesome hats that they're wearing. This was from Zoo Tycoon. So if you've played Zoo Tycoon, it's a game that allows you to, like, you know, run your own zoo, basically. And I love what they did here because they took LEGO Mindstorms and then they had a Windows RT app and they'd show you all the code. You can download all the code and see how this works. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that that you are basically playing Zoo Tycoon on the Windows RT device, and then when you say, I want a polar bear exhibit over there, a robot actually goes and picks up a block pre-constructed building of the polar bear exhibit, and they move it to this map that you see up on this screen. So it's just really cool. I was trying to find a video in here. I hope that one surfaces, because this is just really
neat. I always love
neat.
Like when you have something virtual, like you're playing a game or something, and yeah. It's actually interacting with real life.
Can you imagine like Command & Conquer, if somebody did that with a real-time strategy game
like
that?
Or like boxing bots?
That'll never work.
That would never
That's
work.
That's way too ambitious.
That would, absolutely. No, that's great. So my pick of the week is Scott Hanselman had done a video, how to become a social developer. And Scott, I mean, I will definitively say Scott is the authority on being a social developer. So just hearing his perspective on both the online things like blogging, tweeting, he talks to John Skeet, which is Mr. Stack Overflow, in terms of what makes a good Stack Overflow question, and then even some of the more in-person things like user groups and conferences. So I would definitely check this out. Kudos to the Pluralsight folks for posting this up. And this is one that I am flagging to watch later.
Absolutely. So we will not be on the air next week, but
Correct.
We will be on Channel 9 Live. So hopefully we'll see some of you in Tech Ed Houston. I always love when people come up and say they recognize us from the show. And
feel free to stop by.
It's great to meet fans, and hopefully we'll see some of you down there.
Thanks.
And don't forget to vote on who's rocking the blue shirt the best.